Let's turn now to Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff. He's the chair of the House Intelligence Committee. Congressman, thanks so much for joining us.
It's good to be with you.
So seemingly overnight, Congressman, the post-World War II security structure in Europe has shifted dramatically. How are you and other Democrats in Congress responding to what is arguably NATO's biggest post-Cold War challenge?
Well, I think in largely a bipartisan way, with a demand for more sanctions, with the agreement, I think, to provide greater resources to Ukraine, to our NATO allies in the region, and with, I think, a firm commitment to help Ukraine in the struggle and to punish Russia with the most vigorous sanctions that we hope will cripple their economy.
Well, President Biden has called it an unjustified and unprovoked attack and says Russia will be held to account. What additional sanctions and other consequences is the United States and its European allies ready to impose?
Well, I think, first of all, the Nord Stream pipeline ought to be dead for all time. So not just suspended. I think that should be the end of that project. I also think we need to move from sanctions on a few banks to sanctions on the main Russian banks. I think we ought to cut them off from the SWIFT financial transaction system that will make it very difficult for them to do any banking with the Western world. I think we ought to go after more of the oligarchs. And I think we need to take vigorous steps to really end Europe's dependence on Russian oil and gas so that can never be used as leverage again. These are some of the steps I think we ought to take, cutting their access off to high technology semiconductors so that they can't use it for military purposes. We have the ability to make life very painful for this Kremlin dictator, and we should.
Congressman, historically, sanctions have proved ineffective, sometimes more symbolic than substantive. Are additional sanctions really enough here?
Well, they're not going to be enough to stop him. I mean, he's going forward, and that has been his decision all along. But they can make it very painful for him. And if we provide defensive weapons to Ukraine, it can become very costly to Russian forces as well. And over time, the Russian people and the rest of the world will come to see this as a terrible folly that could bring Putin down. But no, if he's determined to use the military might of Russia against a smaller, weaker neighbor, then sanctions aren't going to stop him, but sanctions can make him pay an awful price for it.
Congressman, you chair the Intelligence Committee. What do you think Vladimir Putin's goal here is with military action? To topple Ukraine's democratically elected government? To occupy Ukraine? What?
I think it is to topple the government, to stop Ukraine's drift towards the West. Ukraine wants to be part of the European Union. It wants to be part of NATO. It's drifting away from the dictatorship and the backward policies of governments like the Kremlin. He wants to stop that. He also wants to make himself into Peter the Great and rebuild the Russian Empire. And finally, I think that he's become very isolated during the pandemic. You can see during meetings that he doesn't want to sit near anyone. I think he's cut off from getting frank advice about the true cost this is going to cause Russia to incur. But I think this is essentially trying to end the prospect of a democratic state on his border, giving an illustration to the Russian people why they don't have to put up with the dictatorship.
What do you make of his language? I mean, his accusations of genocide of Russian-speaking people in the East, his use of the term denazification of Ukraine, and really his stark warning to any nation that attempts to interfere in Ukraine, he said would, quote, lead to consequences you have never seen in history. That's a pretty stark warning.
It is a pretty stark warning. And again, I think that this kind of bellicose, dangerous actions and rhetoric are in part the product of his extreme isolation. But the rhetoric, the propaganda directed towards Ukraine, that Ukraine isn't really a state, that it's really always been part of Russia, that Ukraine is led by fascists and neo-Nazis, it's just all Kremlin lies that he hopes enough of his own people will believe. So that when Russian soldiers come back in body bags, he can somehow try to justify it. But it's unjustified. It's all a bunch of false propaganda. And you could see in the numerous efforts to create these false flag operations and phony pretexts to invade, that lies come very naturally to Putin and the Kremlin, and they'll use whatever they think they can get away with.
Congressman, a diplomatic solution to this crisis seems as distant as ever. What else can and should the U.S. do to aid Ukraine and to try to restart a diplomatic dialogue?
We always left the door open to diplomacy, urged him to come to the table. That door will remain open, but the way to get him to walk through it, I think, is by applying the most powerful pressure through the most crippling sanctions. And, you know, short of sending our own troops into Ukraine, which we're not going to do, what we can do and what I think will be very powerful is raising the cost for the Russian people so they see the folly of their leader.
Congressman Adam Schiff chairs the House Intelligence Committee. Congressman, thank you very much.
Thank you.